The reading for today is taken from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 13. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all of the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
This is a picture of an office building. But it's not just any office building. It's 286 Euston Road, otherwise known as Euston Tower, opposite Warren Street Tube Station and close to the BT Tower. When it opened in 1970, this 36-storey building was very prominent on the London skyline, but has become less so as other tall buildings have been built over the years. It's had lots of uses in its time, probably most of all as a government building. Perhaps more of note, less of note, for a time it was the headquarters of Capital Radio in the bottom floors. And it played a key role in why I'm here this morning, which probably needs a little bit of explanation. In my primary school days in Norfolk, our school journey each year was a train trip to London. And I don't have particularly clear memories of what we did and places that we visited. But what does stick particularly in my mind is the last part of that train journey into London. It felt really slow, and going through lots of rundown factories and residential properties. And somehow I decided in my mind that I was never going to end up in London. So fast forward 10 years or so to the sort of getting towards the end of studying days, I found myself faced with a dilemma, because most of the jobs that I was interested in or I'd been sort of studying for were based in London. So somewhat reluctantly, I felt I had no option but to consider them. And I particularly remember one late winter morning when I found myself sitting in a room quite close to the top of this office building, sitting some tests for a job with the Royal Mail, then the post office. It was a crisp, crystal clear day, and the view over Regent's Park and beyond was absolutely stunning. And I remember God speaking very clearly and saying, why are you trying to tell me where you will and will not go? I didn't end up getting the job. I did end up getting another one in London, and there's a story behind that for another time. So today, as we've already picked up, is Vocation Sunday. And vocation can sound one of those grand words, but Dan has explained that simply it's from the Latin of being called. And I've told this story at some length this morning because it convinced me at that stage of life as a relatively young Christian that God calls, that God speaks, that God directs. And it's something that I've experienced many, many times in different ways over the years. And what I want to do this morning is to encourage us, whatever our situation, whatever our circumstances, that God does call each of us. God will speak to each of us. So let me pray for us before we go any further. Lord, thank you that you are a God who calls, a God who speaks. Please burn that truth into our hearts this morning. And help us to see more of your call on our lives, we pray. Amen. I think one of the difficulties with the word vocation is that we see it in far too narrow a way. And somehow we associate it with roles that we think are particularly worthy. Maybe in the church, we think just of full-time Christian ministry. In the wider world, maybe we restrict it to things like the teaching profession or healthcare. The difficulty with taking what I think is too narrow a view is that if we have no interest in or skills for those particular things, then it quickly becomes something that's for everybody else and not for me. It becomes exclusive. And I prefer to see vocation in much broader terms, simply along the lines of what does God want me to do with my life? At work, at church, at home, in the wider community. And seeing vocation in those terms, I think, makes it a question for all of us. I think our reading from Ephesians today helps us to see God calling each and every one of us in two particular ways. One which is general to all Christians, but one which is specific to each of us as individuals. Ephesians, very broadly speaking, is a book of two halves. Paul begins by reminding the members of the church in Ephesus that they have each been chosen and saved by God's grace. Their sin and their selfishness had separated them from God, but their faith in Jesus as the one whose death has dealt with that sin meant that God has brought them forgiveness and restored their relationship with him. And in a way, it's like being called from darkness to light. That's the way that St. Peter expressed it in one of his letters. And Paul gets to sort of the end of the first part of the letter, at the end of chapter 3, with a fervent prayer that the Ephesian church would grasp the wonder of just how much God loves them. So our reading this morning sort of marks the when I go back to the right place. So that the reading that we've heard this morning marks the start of the second half of the letter. And Paul begins by urging his readers to live a life that's worthy of the calling that they've received. He's exhorting them. He's begging them. And he sees this, I think, as a duty that arises directly from the immense gratitude that they owe to God, to Jesus, for all that they've received from him, for all that he's done for them. Every disciple who's called to follow Jesus is under that same obligation to live in a way that honours that call. And in the verses that follow, Paul goes on to explain particular ways in which that comes to life through displaying humility, patience, gentleness, forbearance, and by pursuing unity in their life together. And Paul's talking particularly about how they get on as the body of Christ, how their life comes to life within the church. But I think it also applies much more broadly to life in general. So that's Paul speaking about a calling, which I think is a general one for all Christians. But then he goes on from verse 7 to become more specific. He talks of grace, of God's grace being given to each of us as Christ apportions it. The idea is that each of us receives something that's special and distinctive to us as individuals. Each of us is unique in God's creation, something that Louise reminded us of earlier. And I love those verses which you may be familiar with in Psalm 139, where the psalmist talks of us, each of us, being fearfully and wonderfully made. Each of us is a special, unique creation of God. And God's grace is given to us, to each of us, in specific ways so that we can make our particular contribution to the body of Christ being built up, becoming united and mature. But because each of us is unique, I believe we also have a unique contribution to make within the wider world. There are times in life, I think, for all of us where our health or our personal circumstances will place limitations on what we can do, on how much we can serve. But whatever stage of life we're at, I still believe that God has something special for each of us to do. So I think the obvious question that comes from that is, do you know what God's special call is on your life? Within the church, yes, but also beyond the church. Put it another way and bringing it back to today's theme, do you know your vocation? If you do, then that's great. Just be aware that sometimes God has a way of moving us on. Sometimes God has something new for us. So be enthusiastic in your calling now, but don't get too comfortable. Be open to the possibility of change. But if you feel you don't know God's call on your life, then be encouraged. God has ways, many ways, of showing you what it is. It would make absolutely no sense if a God who calls each of us in special and particular ways didn't then make that known to us in some way. It's logically inconsistent. So I'm just going to give us a few reminders of how God calls, how God speaks. It's not rocket science. It's things that you will already be, I'm sure, familiar with. But just to prompt us again and remind us to be open to God speaking to us in different ways. I want to get away, really, from the idea that vocation is this scary thing, that it's complicated. God speaks to us day by day, moment by moment, and we can be open to that. So God speaks to us when we pray. I'm sure you've experienced those times in prayer where you just have that really strong sense in your heart that God is saying something that's for you at that time. Some people find that happens when they're asleep. That happened to a number of individuals in the Bible. But God speaks when we spend special time with him. And similarly, he speaks through his word when we dedicate our time to read his word. I guess you've had the experience where often words that you've read many times just suddenly come to life and grip you. It's God's word for you at a particular time, and they become very personal. What I've called passion. I think sometimes in life, we have really strong feelings about things or concerns about things, about particular issues, about particular groups of people. I think often for us, that's God's prompt about something that he wants us to respond to, a direction that he's taking us in. Skills and gifts. Our passage in Ephesians this morning goes on to talk about the way in which God gifts individuals in different ways. Again, don't make it complicated. Often things that come naturally to us in life are a sign of God's gifts to us. But also be open to the supernatural. Be prepared to be surprised when God equips you to do something that seems to come out of nowhere. Friends. We're not always a very good judge of ourselves. We're not always good at recognizing our skills and gifts. But those who know us well are often the people who do. They can see in us the potential that we fail to see. And thinking back 40 years now, or more than 40 years, to becoming a reader, I think the reason, or one of the main reasons I became a reader, was because the then vicar of this church spotted something in me as a young Christian that I hadn't recognised. He asked questions of me, and that stirred a desire and led on to training. So take the courage to ask those close to you, those around you, what they see in you, and be open to respond to that. Circumstances. That's probably where we go back to the story that I told at the start this morning. God can speak to us just as we go about the course of everyday life, the circumstances that we face, the situations that we're in. God can use the everyday to speak to our hearts. And then finally, needs. Sometimes I think a sense of where God is leading us comes from the needs around us. There are so many opportunities to serve. And again, God may impress something on our hearts so strongly that that's his call to us. And I think, again, we don't need to make it too much too holy or to anguish over it too much. If there's a need, then maybe just give it a try. It may turn out not to be God's call for you. If not, then move on. But that may be God's way of showing you his way forward for you. I think some of the most exciting times for me in life has been when a number of those seven things have sort of come together at the same time, when it really has been impossible to avoid the call of God. Don't know how many of you were here at our annual meeting earlier this year, back in May, when Louise gave testimony and was speaking about a conversation that she'd had with her then vicar. And she told him that she didn't really know how she should be serving God. And he said to her, "Why don't you ask him?" And she explained that at the time she was at, that was quite a revolutionary idea. But that she'd been excited subsequently to see how that had unfolded. And I wonder if that's a bit of a revolutionary idea for you this morning. Or maybe you're more one who sort of avoids asking the question. Maybe you're fearful that God will call you to do something that you feel ill-equipped to do, or maybe something you really don't want to do. Or maybe you know that it's a good idea to ask what God wants you to do with your life, but you've just fallen out of the habit of doing so. If that sounds anything like you, then be encouraged again by something that Louise wrote in the most recent edition of Cornerstone. You may have read it already. And what she said about becoming a lay reader was this: gradually, I've been inviting God into more and more of my life decisions, and he's been leading me step by step into this place where I have to say I feel the most me I've ever felt. And I think when we hear God's call on our lives and answer it, not only does it bless other people, but it's a way for ourselves of experiencing more of the life in all its fullness that Jesus promised. We find a really deep joy that comes from being in step with God's plans for our life, our lives, and walking in them. Throughout the Bible, God called huge numbers of people in a vast number of ways to particular roles and responsibilities. Some were reluctant. Many tried to make excuses. But God equipped them and helped them to fulfill his purposes through them. And you and I today have the privilege of carrying on God's work in this age, if we're ready and open to his call. Let's pray together. Lord, we long to live lives that are worthy of the calling to which you have called us. Not just in a general sense, but in a specific sense too. And Lord, this morning I pray that each of us will open up our lives afresh to you. We'll be prepared to ask that question, what, Lord, do you want of me now? Thank you, Lord, that you have gifted us. You will gift us. Help us to discover your special calling on our lives and give us the gifts and courage to follow it through, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.